Call the Senate Finance Committee to order. It is 9 o'clock. Today is Thursday, the Ides of March, March 15th. We're in the state capitol, and we have before us two pieces of legislation. The first one is HB 321, the supplemental appropriation. Then we'll be taking a break, and Senator McKinnon will be taking up Senate Bill 196. Present today are Co-Chairman McKinnon, Vice Chairman Bishop, Senator Von Imhoff, Senator Machicki, and Senator Stevens. Senator Olson is away today on other state business. With that, we have the supplemental appropriation. Can my staff, Pete Eklund, come to the table and present the House bill? We had previous hearings on this particular piece of legislation, the Senate version, and the House made some amendments that Mr. Eklund can go over. Mr. Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Pete Eklund, staff to Co-Chair Hoffman. Like you said, Mr. Chairman, before you today is a fast-track supplemental bill. The committee previously heard the Senate version of the fast-track bill, which was Senate Bill 168. There are only two changes in the bill, the House bill before you, from the Senate version that we previously discussed. And, Mr. Chairman, those two changes are there was a reduction of $2.5 million to Department of Corrections population management, a reduction from $10.447 million down to $7.947 million. And there was an addition of to the Department of Health and Social Services of $45 million for health care and Medicaid services. And as you're aware, Mr. Chairman, you'd received a letter from the department. They were, without this additional appropriation, they were going to run out of funds in mid-April, and so this extends that to mid-May or to the end of May, that they'll have funding for Medicaid services. And the last change, Mr. Chairman, is a change of the effective date. It used to be April 16th. It's been changed to March 16th, tomorrow. And so, Mr. Chairman, those are the three changes to the bill.
Can you go over the totals?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The total all funds dollar amount in the bill, $110,239,000. And then, Mr. Chairman, if you want to break that down into UGF, is $91.9 million. I'm just rounding, Mr. Chairman. DGF is $5.1 million. Other state funds of $13.1 million, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. With that, are there any questions before I open up the public hearing? With that, I will open up the public hearing on Senate Bill 321, the Supplemental Fast Track Appropriation. Is there anyone that would like to present testimony to the Finance Committee regarding the supplemental? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing. Is there further discussion on the fast track supplemental? Can we have a motion for discussion purposes? Madam Co-Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I move the CS for House Bill number 321, Finance as amended, 30-GH2781/O.A from committee with attached fiscal note and individual committee recommendations.
And I will object to see if there's any additional questions that any members may have.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question on community revenue assistance, and I'm just wondering what the total fund balance will be after the supplemental is passed. I know last year the other body added $8 million on the floor, and this is a $30 million appropriation from the Alaska Comprehensive Health Insurance Fund. So I'm just wondering what the balance will be, and I don't need that necessarily today.
Okay. Are there any further questions
Quick Eddies, Mr.
Do we have an Eddies? Call the Senate Finance Committee back to order. Senator Michiki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just as we move forward this morning, I just, for the public that doesn't understand perhaps what we're doing, this is a fast track supplemental that we've removed things that we don't agree on and that where we're sort of struggling with some of those items being included in a supplemental budget. This is where we agree. And obviously, we're covering some of the costs that we agree are important for Medicaid. I just wanted to clarify that there are remaining supplemental items where some of us are struggling somewhat. But thank you for that, Mr. Chairman.
With that, I will remove my objection. Are there any further objections to the passage of House Bill 321? With that, I think I'll have a roll call. Can we have a roll call, please?
Senator Stevens?
Yes.
Senator Gunderhoff?
Yes.
Senator Bishop?
Yes.
Senator Machiki?
Yes.
Senator Keenan?
Yes.
Senator Hawkins?
Yes.
68-09.
So that bill passes and we'll take an ID while we sign the paperwork.
Good morning. We're back on the record. The next item before the committee is Senate Bill 196, an act relating to the appropriation limit and providing for an effective date. I'd like to ask Senator Machicki and Senator Von Imhoff to present the bill. Senator Machicki.
Morning, Madam Chair. Senator Peter Machicki, District O.
Senator Natasha Von Imhoff, District L.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to begin this morning with a little quote from a man named Thomas Tusser, 1524 to 1580. I'll sort of give you his actual statement at the time. Was a fool in his monies, be soon at debate, which after with sorrow repents him too late. And we've converted that in modern times to a fool and his money are soon parted. Madam Chair, there's a reason I'm using that several hundred year old statement, and that's about this bill this morning, Senate Bill 196. The state relies on a single commodity to fund more than 85% of our government services, Madam Chair. Today, with declining production and lower prices, Alaska continues to face a significant budget deficit. The legislature has cut the operating and capital budgets by over $3 billion in the last four fiscal years, thanks to all of you at this table, Madam Chair. We continue to draw from our savings accounts to fill the gap between revenue and expenditures. Senate Bill 196 sets a $4.1 billion statutory limit on how much the legislature can appropriate every year with regard to agency operating budget expenses. The limit would be adjusted annually for inflation. The appropriation limit does not apply to appropriations for the payment of permanent fund dividends, capital projects, state debt obligations, and receipt-supported services such as the receipts of the Alaska Marine Highway System, or DGF, if you will, Madam Chair. Alaska must control its spending in order to refill our savings accounts and sustain the programs Alaskans rely on in their everyday lives. Senate Bill 196 is the needed framework to help guide the governor and the legislature through the budget-making process. Now is the time to pass an effective statutory appropriation limit. So why did I bring up Mr. Tusser's statement, Madam Chair? We have an opportunity to do it differently in the future. Things will turn around. But we've demonstrated or illustrated in two different ways. If you can see the chart behind you, some of you have handouts. The blue line is deflating today's spend back, and the green line is inflating with Anchorage CPI from our spending levels of FY99. Had we had a spending limit in place such as the one we'd like to pass that you have before you, we would have about $15 billion more in savings right now. What does that mean? We would still have a CBR. We likely would not have reduced permanent fund dividends. We would be in a much better position. And it's not too late. It's not too late to make the changes in the future that we need to make. To ensure that we don't put ourselves in the same position that we're in today, Madam Chair. And I'll hand it off to Senator Von Imhoff, and then I can complete a sectional analysis if that's what you'd like to hear.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you. One of the questions in this particular bill is what is the best way to calculate going forward? Do we use inflation? Do we use population? When you start looking at what other states do, they do a number of different things. Sometimes it's a combination of inflation, population. Sometimes if they have actually a broad-based tax, they'll utilize that for their spending cap. What we have, what seems to work now, we have a stabilized population, and it's a consumer price index. If you look at it, it fluctuates a little bit over year, but over time, it's relatively stable. If you look at the CPI, consumer price index, going forward, and you actually extrapolate it out to 2030, our spending cap grows predictably, stably, it's in a stable fashion over time where we can budget for the future and don't have huge growth in 1 year over the next. So there's not these boom and bust cycles. We can set something in place that people can predict for several years in the future and budget for. And I think that just provides confidence. It provides predictability, and that is what we need for a future economic growth and investment and attract new investment in our state.
So Madam.
Oh. Are there questions from committee members? Senator Machicki.
Yeah, Madam Chair, the key to the reason for a spending cap for, and it's a priority of many of us at this table, is it keeps us from creating spending habits at the height of revenue. It allows us to stabilize at an expected revenue level, taking all the peaks and valleys of our economy's variations into account. And it preserves savings in the long term, and it keeps us from getting into the days that we're looking at today. This was largely self-imposed, and a spending limit keeps us from getting into that situation.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We've had spending limit bills in the past, and the question I think people of Alaska would like to know, why do you believe that this proposal will work?
That's an excellent question. Madam Chair.
Senator Machicki.
Senator Hoffman through the chair. It's hard when you're on finance and then actually testifying in finance to adjust. That's an excellent question. There is a spending limit in the Constitution, and we have not triggered it. So what this does is tighten up, as you can see, this shaves off the high spending years. The spending limit that we have in the Constitution is much too lenient. And if you just look at the red line above the blue, that demonstrates the leniency of the existing spending limit. This would take you down at least between the green and the blue line, depending on whether you want to deflate or inflate from a particular point. But the red line outside of the blue line represents the CBR we've burned through plus about $2.5 billion. So it would have kept us within that range, and we would have existing savings today.
Senator Hoffman, follow-up?
Follow-up, you know, and I believe that we need to keep expenditures under control. But I go back to the constitutional limit of a 121-day session and a statutory change of 90 days. And from my viewpoint, that isn't working. So why would this statutory proposal work? And when we have a constitutional spending limit that you refer to?
Senator Von Imhoff?
The current constitutional verbiage that talks about, that addresses our spending, current spending limit, has a growth rate that's connected to 100% change of population plus 100% change of CPI. It's too high of a growth rate. It doesn't match our actual revenues. What we should have done was look back and make sure that it actually works for us. When you recalculate it by using just 100% of CPI change, it works. The other thing in our current constitution is it has too many exceptions. It's not clear. The one that we're proposing now is just covering essentially agency spending, so it makes it a little bit clearer. But again, Senator Hoffman, we have to review it and think about it and respect it.
Senator Machicki.
So to just answer your question about why a statutory change is not going to be something that's ignored by the legislature, which is, I think, what you're asking. I can tell you right now, it gives me a framework I'm not going to ignore. I don't support the level that we went to earlier, and this is not pointing at anyone in this body. A lot of our spending is because of the demands of the people in our communities that wanted other programs and wanted other services. A statutory spending limit or appropriation limit similar to the framework we have now gives us something to take back home and says we must prioritize our spending to avoid the situation we got into from 14 through 18. If you notice now, we're down below that blue line. And it gives us a framework to bring back home. It gives us a framework to remind our colleagues of here in this body to say, this is something we agreed upon. It's a statutory spending limit, and we're beginning to move outside of it. We need to reevaluate and reset our spending to stay within that, the constraints of Senate Bill 196 that we passed back in 18.
Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To whom either one of you, this slide that you have up here right now, the first one, is this strictly operating across agencies and does not include capital?
Senator Machicki.
Madam Chair, whenever you're ready for a sectional, I think it will clarify exactly, but the answer is essentially yes.
Okay, I know what the answer is at the end on the fiscal notes, so you know where I was going, but I just want to make sure that people at home are watching, because I'm teeing it up for the next part of the conversation.
Thank you, Senator Bishop, and for those that are watching at home, this is a Senate Finance Committee bill, and it should be no secret that the Senate has passed a spending limit bill before inside of other pieces of legislation. And because other legislation is stalled at this time, we do believe that the people deserve a fair vetting of a spending limit and how spending limits can work or not work and what it requires of an elected official to follow the rules and stay within the structures. Senator Machicki, if you could do a walkthrough on the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the sectional analysis, which I believe you all have in front of you, Section 1 of an act relating to an appropriation limit and providing for an effective date removes the reference to the current statutory appropriation limit. Section 2, statutory appropriation limit, includes unrestricted general fund appropriations may not exceed $4.1 billion. It adjusts for inflation using known inflation data. The inflation adjustment is based on the Consumer Price Index for Anchorage prepared by the United States Bureau of Labor Statistics. The appropriation limit excludes appropriations to the Alaska Permanent Fund for permanent fund dividend payments, for payments of debt obligations of state, examples such as general obligation bonds and certificates of participation, and capital projects. And it defines a capital project, program receipts, and unrestricted general fund. Section 3 repeals the current statutory appropriation limit language, and Section 4 sets the effective date of July 1st, 2018.
Senator Von Imhoff, for those listening at home on the exceptions that were just described, could you go through 1 through 4 and say why those are excluded? As an example, on 1, the Alaska Permanent Fund, we are in no way trying to cap or control what the people of Alaska or the legislature decides on a permanent fund dividend. Senator Von Imhoff.
Well, that is basically correct. Inside SB 26, which is a different bill, the POMB bill, which is the percent of market value, the dividend is addressed in that fashion by taking a structured draw on the permanent fund earnings. And the dividend at that point is it's separate from the spending cap. You have agency spending, and then you have the dividend, which is addressed at this point in a different bill, which will grow over time as the permanent fund grows, and it will be predictable and stable for future generations, our children and grandchildren. This particular bill addresses agency spending. We have 17 agencies, 17 departments. And this is addressing only.
Thank you. Senator Machicki, the reason that we are not including debt service, is that because the people of Alaska would approve that debt service, and so that would be beyond the reach of the legislature? Is that why that is not included?
Well, that's correct, Madam Chair. Again, this is a statutory guideline for in my view, the areas that are toughest to control, right? So we saw the largest reduction in our budget from the capital budget. It's very difficult once you grow agency operations to reduce those operations. Those are real people with real jobs. Those are services Alaskans grow to appreciate, and there's a constituency for each one of them. So it's much more difficult to reduce the operating. This is statutory language for operating budget discipline, and there are outlets. If the people of Alaska demand a larger capital budget through obligation bonds, general obligation bonds, that is excluded from this consideration.
Senator Machicki, PERS and TERS are a debt of the state. Is that accurate?
That is correct.
And tax credits that we owe?
In this consideration for this bill, tax credits are a debt of the state.
It's my understanding tax credits are a debt of the state by both legislative finance and the administration. Is that your understanding?
That is my understanding, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Are there other questions from committee members? Senator Bishop.
Section 3, the repealer, the last one, 3705.540, I think it has to do with the governor's ability to execute disaster funds. And that's something I think we should have a discussion about.
Senator Machicki.
You know, Madam Chair, at this point, we'd love to join your discussion. I think we become members of finance again, but that's up to you. You're the chairperson. But we feel that the governor already has the authority for emergency spending, Senator Bishop, and that's why we have left it outside of this appropriation limit. It would come in the form of a supplemental that we don't believe is impacted by the bill.
Brief at ease. We're back on the record. We repositioned our senators who are carrying the Senate finance bill on an appropriation limit. Ms. Kramer, if you could place yourself on the record and then please provide us comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Laura Kramer, and I'm staff to Senator McKinnon and the Senate Finance Committee. Just to clarify the question asked by Senator Bishop through the chair, Senator Bishop, the repeal section of the bill, Section 3, repeals the current statutory appropriation limit, like you said. And specifically E, the way it's written doesn't fit with the legislation you have before you. We can easily incorporate an exemption of emergency or disaster declaration into the legislation if that is the desire of the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. And our office had previous conversations on that, so we are if there is not objection from the committee, we'll incorporate that in through amendment or through a CS. But amendments on this bill will be due by 5 o'clock today. Ms. Kramer.
Madam Chair, and just one more thing for the committee that you may see come in a CS for potentially tomorrow is clarification of the effective date or effectiveness of this bill. The purpose is to apply this to the FY20 budget proposal, so we may clarify that in this bill that the appropriation limit would take effect for the FY20 budget.
Senator Machicki.
No, thank you for the clarification on the emergency-related spending. We certainly would not want to hold off awaiting permission by the legislature if there's an earthquake or fire in the interim. My understanding was that already existed. I didn't realize that the appeal or the repeal affected that authority. So thank you for the clarification.
Other questions for Ms. Kramer? Ms. Kramer.
One more clarification, Madam Chair. I think maybe it was said that a supplemental budget would not be subject to the appropriation limit. That is an entirely true statement. Part of it could be true. It depends on what is in that supplemental appropriation. If there are capital expenditures, they would not be subject to the appropriation limit or other items that are listed as exemptions. If they are operating expenditures, strictly UGF, they would be subject to the limit.
Thank you, Ms. Kramer, and I think that is the intention of this spending limit. I know that the Senate Finance Committee has had conversations about the growth in government overall on agency spend. I think Senator Machicki represented it well as Senator von Imhoff. We are seeing supplementals that are not sustainable coming from the administration, and this is intended to hold the administration accountable in GF spend to a budget and a limited budget growth. Senator von Imhoff, did you have a?
No.
Thank you, Ms. Kramer. We have the bill in front of us. I don't have anyone signed up for public testimony, but I would like to open the hearing on Senate Bill 196, an act relating to the appropriation limit and providing for an effective date. I have one person in the room, Michelle Hale. Michelle, please join us at the microphone. The public hearing is open on Senate Bill 196. Welcome to Senate Finance. Your name for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Michelle Hale. I am a citizen here of the state of Alaska, and that is my context here. I appreciate the opportunity to testify on this bill. I was born and raised in Alaska. My parents were born and raised in Alaska. My grandparents were raised in Alaska. I have been here my entire life. I was born 2 years after statehood, and I grew up in a time in Alaska filled with hope and energy and excitement at the idea of the state that we were creating. And we've been creating that state now for, well, since 1959, so a little bit more than my whole life. And part of that was figuring out, what does that mean to create a state like Alaska? What does that mean? We're a very large state. We have a huge land area, and we have a very small population. So we have needs across the state that are not met in the way that those needs are met in the rest of the country. We are not roaded. We have many, many disparate communities. What I've seen as I've grown up, I just remember in the 70s and the early 80s sort of seeing the state and sort of coming of age in that time. And what I've seen is kind of a descent into meanness, sort of a hatred of government and a hatred of government that doesn't necessarily reflect what government does and the amount of support that people actually get from government and state government in this state. I was a director for a state agency for 6 years, and I am no longer in that position. In part, you guys wore me out. It was a very, very tough time, and it's been a very tough time for all of us. Senator Machicki, I have great respect for Senator Machicki, but He says that we need to control our spending to refill our savings account. And after leaving that position, my spending has had to be reduced significantly because I don't have the income coming in that I had previously. But in addition to tightening my belt and buying things from Costco and reducing my spending, I'm also out there earning money. You have to do both. You can't fill a savings account by just making cuts. It doesn't work. You have to bring in money. Spending caps and arbitrary cuts are blunt tools. They're blind. When you say if we say we have to cut by another $100 million this year and turn that over to the agencies to do, basically the legislature is abrogating its responsibility to the state and the people of the state of Alaska. There's no basis for the spend cap. There's no basis for that limit. There's no spending basis for the limit. The legislature makes the laws, and then the agencies implement those laws. And if you don't want the agencies to do something, tell them specifically what you don't want them to do. It's leaving it up to the agencies means that they're left trying to grasp at figuring out what the legislature doesn't want them to do. I feel like in a way that Alaska, even though we're this new state that was filled with such hope, at immaturity levels, I feel like we're about six. We throw tantrums. We say what I want and I need rather than thinking about how do we be a mature state that takes care of what needs to be taken care of, that does limit where necessary. I do see that sometimes spending cuts can be helpful because it really makes you look at everything you're doing very closely. But we're not acting in a mature fashion, I feel. I don't think that the legislature is doing a good job or has been doing a good job at addressing this financial situation that we're in. And it makes me very, very sad.
Thank you for those comments. Are you for or against the bill that's before us?
I am opposed to SB 196. Thank you.
Thank you for putting that on the record. Are there questions from committee members? Thank you for participating.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Is there anyone else wishing to testify on Senate Bill 196? Seeing and hearing none, the public hearing is closed. Senator Michiki.
Actually, I was going to request that we left it open for the next meeting after our changes, Madam Chair, but I respect your decision to close the public hearing.
Certainly anyone is able to write in to us, call or testify. Tomorrow's meeting is going to be fairly short. I am involved as well as one other member of this committee on the Office of Victims' Rights Advocate Selection Committee, and we will be starting our interview process at 8 a.m. tomorrow. So we'll have a delayed start on this. If there's any individuals who want to testify, they certainly can contact my office, and we can try to provide limited opportunity for that. We can hold the bill over if there's enough interest in providing that. We did notice this hearing, so I believe that we're ready to move the bill. But again, if there's someone that the committee believes we need to hear from, we can hold that and open the public hearing, reopen the public hearing. Comments on the appropriation bill. We heard from one member of the public. I very much appreciate and respect that perspective. I agree with many things that were said in that. I do believe that individuals across Alaska are frustrated with the fiscal situation that we're in, and that our employees feel underrepresented and undersupported at the table when we talk about finances. In that same regard, there are different advocacy groups that affect heavily the operations of the state and sometimes make it impossible through statutory changes to reduce the budget. And this appropriation limit before us is trying to place a balance in between the two desires, both to respect and support the agencies, the workers for the state of Alaska that supply benefits to the people of Alaska, as well as trying to control spending when revenue reaches high levels, as it did a few years ago when oil reached $150 a barrel and we started adding positions and different benefits that communities or individuals can benefit from throughout our state. We find ourselves in the precarious position of not being able to institute some statutory changes necessary to reduce government spending. And with that in mind, we do understand that inflation is an erosion to the baseline of the budget, and this proposal tries to inflation-proof the budgets going forward, but hold those budgets in somewhat of a cap. Senator Bishop, you said you had additional questions on the bill before us.
I'm good. Thank you.
Other questions from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, we will set Senate Bill 196 aside. Amendments are due by 5 p.m. today. Is there anything else to come before the committee? On tomorrow's agenda, we do have bills previously heard. Please know that there will most likely be a delayed start because I will be participating in an interview process. So it will be to the call of the chair, and I will hopefully be done around the 10 o'clock hour. So that would be, that is my thought. It could be as early as 9:30. I wouldn't think it's 9 o'clock, but somewhere between 9:30 and 10 for a start tomorrow. With that, we're adjourned.